It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Now let's dig beyond the headlines to find out what else is going on in the world. Peter Dykstra joins us in the studio. He's editor of the dailyclimate.org and environmental health news. That's EHN.org. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Steve. Thanks.
So what you got for us this week?
Well, we've seen a lot in the news over the last few years about finding pharmaceuticals in our waterways. That's everything from caffeine to Prozac. And the reason we find them is that sewage treatment plants are designed to treat living things like bacteria. They're not designed to treat the chemicals that we might ingest and then get rid of. So some scientists have figured out that if you can find legal drugs in sewage, why not trace illegal drugs through sewage? Our EHN reporter, Brian Binkowski, put together some data from about 20 studies on this. My favorite one is a chemistry professor at Puget Sound University in Washington State who studied his own campus's sewage output.
Now, wait a second. Pot is legal now in Washington State.
But a lot of other things aren't. So here's what Professor Sewage found. There's a huge spike every exam week on campus in amphetamine levels in the sewage. That's probably not a big surprise for a lot of people who are familiar with college. And the technology to detect even tiny traces of chemicals has gotten so much better in recent years. There have been a lot of studies on illegal drugs traced through sewage in Europe. They found meth, cocaine, heroin, ecstasy. It's in varying amounts, but one of the constants is that it's usually heavier on the weekends.
Okay, Peter, what about the right to privacy here?
Well, it's only a privacy issue if the technology were good enough, and it isn't, to figure out which home or which individual were donating his or her sewage to science.
So what else do you have?
Well, Steve, you have to feel for the poor town of Valdez, Alaska. It's been 25 years. 25 years ago, Valdez became synonymous with one of the most notorious oil spills in history. 25 years before that, Valdez was wiped off the face of the earth by an earthquake and tsunami. It was rebuilt up the hill, a little farther away and out of danger.
Oy, Valdez, huh? So we got the big earthquake in 64, the Exxon Valdez oil spill almost exactly 25 years later in 89. So it's almost 25 years again. What is it this time?
Avalanches. The Richardson Highway, the only way in and out of town, and 2 weeks starting in late January following absurdly warm temperatures in the 60s. That's right, the 60s in January in Alaska led to two avalanches. They cut off the Richardson Highway, the only road access to Valdez. For 2 weeks, no cars and trucks in and out of town. But the crisis spawned the obligatory, heartwarming story. It was about a couple who risked everything to get their sick cat to a vet in Valdez. They hiked with the cat over two avalanches.
And I'm hoping that this story has a happy ending, Peter.
Well, it does have a happy ending, but it had kind of an unhappy middle. Their names are Christina Clark and Donnie Carlson. They got arrested for trying to save their cat by hiking over the avalanches. They locked them up. They even locked the cat up in a shelter. The humans got out. The vet got the cat out. The vet healed the cat. And everybody's doing just fine.
But no catastrophe, I guess. So, Peter, what you got for us in the calendar this week?
This is one of my favorites. It's 79 years ago this week, 1935. Source is no less an authority than the New York Times. They helped start the urban myth about alligators thriving in New York City's sewer system. And you know what an urban myth is, right?
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Oof.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, an urban myth is something from a city that's not true. And this is definitely not true. The story goes back, and it was reported the next day by the Times, but some kids were shoveling snow in a street in Upper Manhattan. They put the snow in a sewer. We're back to the sewers. And they said they spotted a 7-foot alligator living in the sewer where they dumped the snow. They also said they killed the alligator. They cut it up and burned it before anybody got to see it. But somehow this made it into the New York Times the next day, and it's made it into folklore forever.
Yeah, I guess an alligator's mostly tail, so huh, that makes a pretty good
story.
Yeah,
there you go.
Peter Dykstra is the publisher of Environmental Health News and the dailyclimate.org. Thanks for visiting us here in Boston, Peter.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to see you.